There is a time when we say enough is enough and we draw a line in the sand. I'm going to encourage you today to draw that very line in your own personal life.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you, friends, for joining us this Wednesday on the Line of Fire broadcast. I will not be taking calls today, so sit back and drink in every word. But by all means, connect with me via Facebook, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, or via Twitter. That is Dr. Dr. Michael L. Brown on Twitter. We've been focusing on Jesus' revolution this entire week. That's always a theme dear to me, but it's been a foundational theme this week. We've got some of the most critical cases in our nation's history before the Supreme Court as we talk about the possibility of the court weighing in one way or another decisively on redefining marriage. We are at a tipping point in so many ways in our culture. And we talk about being revolutionaries. We talk about going for it. We talk about living it out. What does it actually mean? And let me ask you a more important question. What's it going to take to get you fully on board if you're not? I'm not questioning if you love Jesus, if you do. I'm not questioning if you're a faithful church attender, if you are. I'm not questioning if you are living a godly life in many ways, if you are. But I'm wondering, what's it going to take to really get you and get me living out what the New Testament actually talks about? Now, I won't be taking calls today. That's Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K D-R Brown on Facebook. I may be interacting with some of you real time on Facebook or via Twitter. That's Dr. Dr. Michael L. Brown on Twitter. And if you're not connected me in those with those ways, please do, because you'll be the first to know about the latest articles, audio links, video links, new things that we've put out. You'll find out about them directly as you connect with me. But let me talk straight to you. Can I do that? I think you expect me to. I think that's why you listen to this broadcast. Let me talk straight to you. It's always tomorrow. It's always somewhere else. It's never me. It's never now. That's how it so often is with our spiritual life. Not just our spiritual life. Think of all the fitness plans you've started tomorrow. Think of all the new spiritual resolutions you've started tomorrow. Think of all the new budgets you have adapted tomorrow. What am I saying? I'm saying that we're going to do it. Oh, yeah, we're going to live for God. Oh, yeah, we're going to be radical. Oh, yeah, we're going to be Jesus people. Oh, yeah, we're going to stand up. We're going to be unashamed tomorrow. Or we may not say that. We may say, if it gets to a certain point, then I'll take a stand. If it gets to a certain point, then I know I have to speak up. Then I'm willing to risk my life. Then I'm willing to lose my job. Then I'm willing to oppose an unjust government. Now, please hear me carefully. A Jesus revolutionary is someone who loves authority. The Jesus revolution is never built on rebellion. It is built on submission and honoring of authority. It is only when loving and honoring authority, if the earthly authorities tell us to disobey God, with all respect towards the earthly authorities, we say we must obey God rather than man. A Jesus revolutionary is not a hateful person and is absolutely one who has repudiated physical violence to advance their cause. We are not trying to lead some jihad against the unbelievers. No, that is not how we fight our war. Our war is fought spiritually. Our war, we overcome hatred with love. We overcome evil with good. We overcome stubbornness and arrogance with humility and with compassion. But friends, it is a war and it is costly. And Jesus is looking right now throughout America and searching the airways right now as you're listening to me on radio, driving in your car, sitting at your desk, in your home, jogging with podcasts. Wherever you are, he's looking, saying, will you follow me? Will you follow me? Will you come and join the revolution? Let me tell you what it's going to look like right here today.
want, for fire we
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Before I talk to you about some revolutionary steps that you can take in your own life to enlist yourself on the front lines of the Jesus Revolution, a revolution not fought with hatred, violence, anger, and intimidation, but rather with the principles of the gospel, the principles of Jesus. Before I talk about steps you can take, I want to talk about getting yourself fully engaged. Michael Brown, welcome to the broadcast today. I am not taking calls, but please take in every word as carefully as you can. This may just be a turning point in your own life. I don't say that lightly. I don't say that lightly. With all seriousness, the things we're talking about today might bring about radical change in your life. Hey, we are here to know God and to make God known, are we not? We are here to be disciples and to make disciples. We are here to go along with Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our Master, the one who said all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. We are here to walk with Him and go and change our world, go and set captives free. Go and bring liberation to hurting people. Bring the message of salvation to the lost and the dying. Stand for righteousness. Stand for justice. That's why we're here. Let me start with this. Before I was saved, I crossed lines I was sure I would never cross. I'm talking about sinful, disobedient, foolish lines. I crossed lines I was sure I would never cross. I ended up shooting heroin at the age of 15. I could have guaranteed you when I was 13 I would never do that. I hadn't gotten high at 13. When I started getting high at 14, I could have guaranteed you I'd never shoot heroin. And many of you went down a similar path. You went down the same path of doing things you thought you'd never do. What happens? Well, our conscience gets seared. We become used to the thing. The thing that seems so forbidden and exotic is not so forbidden and exotic anymore. The thing that once excited us doesn't excite us anymore. You need more to excite you. You need something more extreme. Or you now have an appetite for something more. Or you now start hanging out with people you wouldn't have hung out with. There are many, many different things that happen. But bottom line is, we end up crossing lines we were sure we would never cross. Now, many of you never took the path that I did and indulged in all kinds of sinful and wicked behavior, but perhaps you've done this in another area. Now, some of you may be struggling with your weight. I'm sensitive to that issue. I'm not saying this in any mocking way, but some of you, if you knew that you weigh what you weigh today, you would have guaranteed me 10 years ago that I'll never happen. I'd never let myself get to that point. And again, my heart goes out to you. I say this with compassion, and I say this recognizing it could be a real struggle to lose a lot of weight. So please, I'm using this to illustrate a point, and perhaps this will be the day that will help you even get grace to change your lifestyle. But here, if the person that is terribly obese saw where they were going 10 or 20 years ahead and saw that they could barely get up a flight of steps without being exhausted or out of breath, or saw that I'd have to have special clothes made for them, or they were afraid to even leave the house. And again, if that's you, may the mercy and grace and encouragement of the Lord come your way in a fresh sense of discipline and lifestyle change that you don't have to stay like that. But the fact is, it's little by little, it's incremental. And we get used to our condition, and then we have a greater appetite and we feed that greater appetite, and then we start to get discouraged and hopeless, and one thing leads to another, and before we know it, we're in a situation we never thought we'd be in. Do you follow what I'm saying? Some of you in massive debt, and I know what that can feel like, where the bottom falls out from you, or you made this decision, that decision, before you know it, you're in this horrific situation, or this credit card. You never would have gotten that far, but then it creates this vicious cycle. You say, okay, Mike, I follow you, but what in the world does that have to do with Jesus Revolution? Okay, let me turn this around. If I was talking to some of you 40 years ago, and I said to you that this and this and this and this will happen in America because of the apathy of the church, or this and this and this will happen because of compromise in the church, or this and this and this will happen in our society because believers simply weren't willing to get involved. You say, oh, not on my watch, man. That would not happen on my watch. If we were talking, say, in the early 1970s before Roe v. Wade, and I said, you know, the Supreme Court is going to make a decision that's going to lead to the slaughter of 50 million babies in the womb, and the church will let it happen. You say, no. I know there's some people there every week. They're in front of the abortion mill in my town. And I know there's a pro-life minister over here. Oh, yeah, right. It's one out of, what, 1,000, out of 10,000, out of 100,000 believers that's actually actively involved in dealing with this? To paraphrase Francis Schaeffer, every abortion clinic in America should have a sign open with permission of the church. The point is, if I told you this in advance, you'd say, not on my watch. That would never happen. But it's happened on our watch. My watch. Our watch. That we have been ineffectual in prayer, that we have been ineffectual in standing for righteousness. What if I told you that on our watch we'd get to a point in America, if I told you this 40 years ago, that we'd get to a point in America where if you don't believe in a man marrying a man or a woman marrying a woman, that you'd be considered a bigot, and that there would be churches leading the way in the movement for homosexual marriage? You'd say, no, Jesus is going to come before then. Or you'd say, well, that's got to be, he's going to be here any second then if we get into that kind of wickedness and deception. And that's not going to happen on my watch. It's happened on our watch. It's happened on our watch. I remember listening to a pro-life leader, when would it have been? The late 80s or the early 90s. Probably the late 80s. I was driving in Texas to meet with Leonard Ravenhill, saintly old Leonard Ravenhill, who died in 1994 and became a very, very close friend the last 5 years of his life. What an honor it was for him to call me a friend. And I was driving to his house from the airport. I'd rented a car and was driving there, and I was listening to a pro-life leader on the radio, and he was saying, you know, he's got friends of his. He has friends that say, look, I know this abortion thing is wrong, but I don't know if I could really get involved. It's going to be costly. Or, you know, friends at work may reject me, or I don't know what's going to happen to my family. You know, whatever the issues were, it's just he couldn't quite get out of his comfort zone. He knew it was wrong, but still it's in the womb. It's kind of out of sight, out of mind. And he said, but I'll tell you this, when they start killing the older people, then I'll get involved. Then I'll get involved. And this pro-life leader said, all right, Karen Quinlan is being disconnected from her feeding tube, life support. It wasn't just that she was brain dead and on a respirator. It was a feeding tube, so she was going to have to be starved to death, as I remember the case. She was considered to be in a persistent vegetative state, but the only way to end her life was to take her life. And he said, okay, they're doing this now. They're doing this now. Will you get involved? And I remember thinking to myself, you know, she may be in a persistent vegetative state, but it looks like the church is in a persistent vegetative state. My point is, it's just the same as with the drugs in my life, or severe obesity in someone else's life, or severe debt in someone else's life. You never thought it would get this far. You never thought it would go this far. And it's always tomorrow that we're going to get involved. But when tomorrow comes, we're that much more desensitized. When tomorrow comes, we're that much more hardened. When tomorrow comes, we're that much more accepting of the things that are surrounding us. When tomorrow comes, it seems more hopeless. Jesus said to the religious leaders of his day, you say, oh, if we had lived in the days of our forefathers, we would never have killed the prophets. You know, you build tombs for them today to honor them and say, oh, we never would have done what our forefathers did. And yet they reject the great prophet of all, Jesus, and give him over to be crucified. We do the same thing. Oh, if I had lived in the days of slavery, I would have never tolerated that. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? Well, we've tolerated Roe v. Wade, haven't we? And we've tolerated blatant sex ed curriculum, heterosexual and homosexual in our schools. That's abominable, and let our kids sit right through it in many cases. And we've tolerated now a number of states redefining marriage. we could go on and on with the list. Look, I'm not going to boast about what I would have done in the past if I'm not standing up for righteousness today. And please hear me again. I'm not mad at people. My heart breaks for those I differ with. I've never had more sense of love and compassion for those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. But I am not willing to redefine marriage and redefine society and redefine life based on the romantic attractions and sexual desires of a tiny minority of the population, however much I care about them as individuals. Friend, first thing you got to do is draw your line in the sand and say, okay, here's where I'm going to stand. Here's where I'm going to stand. And when push comes to shove, I'm going to go the Jesus way. I'm going to go the way of righteousness. I'm going to go the way of truth. Draw your line in the sand.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Do you know that the message of Jesus is a revolutionary message? He was not just a religious teacher. He was a revolutionary. Oh, I didn't say a rebel, meaning one that was going to start some organized revolt against the government and tell people to throw off authority. No, I said a revolutionary, a world changer. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. I'm not taking any calls today, but please, by all means, call your friends, encourage them to tune in and listen. I believe you'll be enriched and challenged and helped and strengthened. A caller to the broadcast on Monday mentioned how he's been encouraged, received courage to go and stand for righteousness and get involved in the pro-life movement through listening to the broadcast. I want to encourage you to be unashamed of Jesus. I want to encourage you to be a true disciple. I want to encourage you to run your race while you have the opportunity. I want to encourage you to stand and make a difference while you have breath. I want to encourage you to live in such a way that when you stand before the Lord on that day, you don't have an endless laundry list of regrets and wishes that, oh, if only, if this, if that. You know, it's one thing to be a has-been. I was really something once. I was at the top of my game, the top of my field once, but I'm nobody now. But in a sense, it's even more tragic to be a coulda have been. You could have really done something for God. You could have really made an impact for the King. You could have really been a prayer warrior. You could have really been an amazing mother or father. You could have really been a soul winner. You could have really been an effective missionary. You could have really been a fearless leader. But, you know, the fear of man, lethargy, the flesh, temptation, procrastination, deception, whatever it is, things that God's calling us to do with such urgency, and we never get it done, the truth be told. So I said a moment ago that Jesus was a revolutionary. Step back and think about this for a moment, all right? He taught his disciples to pray radical prayers, like this one. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, Lord, displace the earthly kingdoms and displace Satan's kingdom and establish your kingdom on the earth today. That's radical. That's radical. That's why there are nations all over the world that have banned the Bible. Radical communist nations, Islamic nations that seek to suppress it. Why? Because it's a threat. The other kingdoms. Think of this. Jesus gave a radical revolutionary calling. Leave everything and follow me. That's the mentality of a revolutionary. You see, in point of fact, The calling of Jesus is not just have a nicer life. Think of the way we do it in church today. You're feeling guilt. Yeah, I'm feeling guilt. You're feeling hopeless. Yeah, I'm feeling hopeless. You're feeling depressed. Yeah, I'm feeling pressed. Yeah, you're heavily in debt. Yeah, you're battling divorce. Yeah, come to Jesus and I'll give you a better life. Oh, that sounds nice. And what else do I get? Well, you go to heaven. Wow. And when you pray, God answers you. Wow. That's it. Yeah, that's it. Exchange your guilt for his love. Well, there's a little bit of that that's true. But the call of Jesus is leave everything and follow me. You see, that sounds like salvation by works. No, it's salvation. Salvation is being saved to Jesus. Being saved and brought into the family of God so that we no longer serve ourselves, we now serve God. Jesus gave these radical calls, like if you save your life, you lose it. If you lose your life for my sake and the gospel, you find it. That sounds like the revolutionary mentality that life as it is not worth living, but the cause is worth dying for. He brings it out in a way that is transforming. Think of this. Revolution comes when people reach their breaking point and need liberation. Revolution comes when say, the Communist Manifesto, with all the destruction that it's brought. Workers of all nations, unite. Throw off your chain. You have nothing to lose but your chains. Well, the Jesus Revolution comes, and he proclaims liberty to the captive. You don't have to be captive to Satan and sin anymore. I've come to set you free. I remember teaching on Jesus Revolution to hundreds and hundreds of students in our ministry school, and one of the students came up to me and said before he was saved, he really didn't have an interest in school. He barely paid attention to his classes. And he said there was only one class he really was interested in, the history class, when they talked a lot about revolution. And he said that they read writings from different revolutionaries, from Marx or from this one and from that one, you know, the different revolutions, the French Revolution, American Revolution, and civil rights movements and different things. He said, but the most radical revolutionary of them all, he remembers this as an unsaved kid, was Jesus. That's how we have to look at him. And now we are called to join that world-changing revolution. I'll say it again, not through human means, meaning not the way an earthly revolution is fought, where we're going to show up, you know, with a million people and attack the government, or we're going to, you know, pass out arms. No, no, no. We give life. We don't take life. We lay down our lives to help others. We don't take life. We don't fight with hatred and intimidation because God is on our side. We're on God's side. Therefore, we walk in meekness and humility, but with backbones of steel, and we stand up for what's right. Friends, I want to encourage you to do something that will greatly help you. It'll be a blessing to us, but with this resource I'm about to encourage you to get, it will help you a lot more than it will help us. This is not some money-making venture in here. Okay, listen. I wrote two books, one called Revolution, The Call of Holy War, the new title, Revolution, The Jesus Call to Change the World, and another book, Revolution in the Church, Challenging the Religious System with a Call for Radical Change. I talked about that yesterday's broadcast, where we need to bring about change in the church. These books will inspire you. They will light a fire in you. I commonly run into people that got the Revolution book at a mass event we had in D.C. where we gave away over 70,000 of the books in one day, September 2nd of the year 2000. And to this day, I run into them and say, that book changed my life. That book has shaped my ministry to this day. How revolutionaries live and think, and then how this works out in the gospel. And then Revolution in the Church, where the church needs radical change to fulfill the revolutionary commission. If you're a leader, if you're a believer in a congregation, these books are absolutely essential. To get them in print, it's $32 for the two books. But we have just released them. In fact, just today, they are now officially available in ebook form. And when you order these, you get the Verso reading app. So for your cell phone, for your tablet, for your PC, you can read them on there. And then when you come to a verse reference, you just tap on it, and the verse actually comes up. So this is a Christian app for reading. If you're not into digital books, start here. Just $15.99, so that's less than half the price of the printed editions. $15.99 for both. Call to order, but we need an email address when we process the order. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, and click on the online bookstore. 1-800-278-9978. These books will equip you to go and be a revolutionary.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Save the nation. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, every day you hear me introduced as your voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. So revolution, being world changers, being used by God to change our world, living revolutionary lives, living counterculture lives, going against the grain of the world in obedience to God. That's part of who we are. That's part of what this broadcast is all about. But we're especially focusing on it this week, in particular, as we have just for the first time released in ebook form my two books, Revolution and Revolution in the Church. If you're just tuning in, I'll tell you how you can get those a little later in the broadcast. I'm not taking calls today, but please call your friend, encourage them, your friend, hopefully you have more than one friend, call your friends, tweet them, email them, post on Facebook, encourage them to tune in and catch the broadcast today. As we talk about living this thing out, I've said first and foremost that we have to draw a line in the sand. And we have to say, okay, if in the workplace my job insists on this, I will have to say with all respect, I cannot comply with that. For example, Hobby Lobby and 40 other companies and organizations have told the government, no, we will not pay for abortion-inducing drugs as part of the health care plan for our employees. No, we will not do that. And we would go out of business before we do that. Now, look, I know it seems black and white to the vast majority of us looking at this, like, yes, of course they're doing the right thing. But for sure, there are people that could buy into a lie and compromise. Well, if we go out of business, then all the people we are helping, we couldn't help. And what's the actual percentage of people that would use the insurance for abortion-related drugs? Okay, if you think of the percentage of money we could spend instead helping the poor and with all the profits we get doing other gospel ministry, and look, with the multiplied millions of dollars that we make with our company, we could put that money into pro-life instead of what? How many thousands of dollars? You could rationalize. I know it's an abominable line of thinking. You know, we'll comply with evil. We'll be complicit with evil so that we can have some other good come out of it. No, of course not. Of course not. But people can rationalize. You need to draw your line in the sand. One of our students was teaching in a preschool here in Charlotte, North Carolina. And she was in our ministry school. She was teaching in a preschool for four-year-olds. And in the school, she could not call the kids boys and girls. I kid you not. She could not call the kids boys and girls because that would be making a gender distinction. Yes. Charlotte, North Carolina. Bible Belt, right? At least part of it. Those living in Charlotte would say, sure, it doesn't feel like the Bible Belt, but it's a perception, right? Cannot call the kids boys and girls. That would be making a gender distinction. Instead, she had to call the kids friends. All right, she could go along with that. But there was a list of books that she had to read to them, which included books along the lines of Heather Has Two Mommies, or Brown Dads, Blue Dads, just, you know, different families with, you got two dads and so on. And they're not just about this, but it's promoting how beautiful and how wonderful it is to have two dads, to have two moms, etc. Ultimately, she left the job because they wanted to know, why are you not reading those books? So because she was required to, ultimately, she left the job. You say, but didn't she need the money? Yeah, she needed the money, but you don't compromise your convictions for the sake of your wallet. You don't compromise what's right because it's expedient. Tell that to the people who died for their faith rather than deny Jesus, that we're going to compromise our convictions because we don't want to lose our pension or we don't want to lose that letter of recommendation from a faculty member. Okay, I'm just getting going.
God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to your listener-sponsored revolutionary radio. Friends, you want to be part of something world-changing. You want to be part of something making a difference. You want to be part of something making an impact. Become a torchbearer. Become a monthly supporter. I challenge you to prayerfully consider put aside a dollar a day and becoming a monthly supporter of a ministry that by God's grace, all by His grace and all to His glory, is making a difference in America, is making a difference in the nations, is making a difference among the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and it's a team effort. I challenge you, if you want to do something, to prayerfully consider putting aside a dollar a day, or two, or five, or ten, depending on your budget and your ability, and become a torchbearer, become a monthly supporter. If you want to do that, call right now. Have I ever done this right at the beginning of a segment? I don't know, but I just did. It's my broadcast. I can, and I feel to. How do you like that? Call 1-800-278-9978. You're frustrated. You don't like the way the world is going. You're concerned about the direction of the church. You feel good about the message we're bringing. Help us. Help us get it out. Help us continue to broadcast on the stations where you're listening to us. Help us to broadcast online. It costs us money to broadcast the way we do online. You subscribe to my free podcast? Awesome. But help us because it costs us money to make it free for you. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Or go online, askdrbrown.org, and just click on support. And I can do this without shame or hesitation whatsoever because I know where the money's going. Can I just tell you something? I'm not taking calls today, so sit back, take this in. Can I talk to you honestly, candidly? I've asked that through the broadcast. I hate the gospel enterprise. I hate the gospel enterprise. Allow me to go on a tangent for a moment here. I hate the gospel enterprise. The second book that I wrote was called The End of the American Gospel Enterprise. I hate this make money off the gospel thing. I hate this tailor your message to the moment for maximum profit mentality. I despise that. Before I was saved, it used to bother me when some rock group they had a certain sound, and then suddenly the sound changed, and you realize, oh, they just got a contract with a big record company, and they got to tone it down a little bit. I remember reading, it was like Jefferson Airplane or something like that, whatever. We just signed a big contract with RCA, but don't worry, we're going to be as radical as ever. We would say, and I don't know if they ever sold out, that's not the issue, but we'd say, the group sold out. The group sold out. As teenagers, we used to feel that. That was the terminology that was used. Years later, it dawned on me, I hate that even more now with the gospel. When someone had a great message and a radical message, and then it became popular, and they became popular, and now they're beginning to be a gospel celebrity. You know what it's like? Here, I'll give you an example. For a good part of my life, I've been a little bit overweight. Sometimes I've looked fine, thin. I've normally been in pretty decent shape, but a good part of my life, a little overweight. You know, take off a little weight here, take off a little weight there. Let's say that in the next year, I got so fit that I became like, if you saw me walk down the street, you'd say, wow, that guy looks fit. You're just somebody like that, okay? I know it's like, if Nancy's listening, she'd be laughing to this right now. Oh okay, she'd be laughing at this, excuse me. So let's just say, though, that I became so fit. And now if I could just each week take one day and talk about physical fitness, this show could be on every radio station in America and I can be as big as Rush Limbaugh. It's like, what's that got to do with my calling? What's that got to do why I'm on the radio? Now, that's an exaggerated picture, but you'll have it with some preacher. Suddenly they hit they find their niche and now they're on TV, they're on radio, their books are selling best. And it doesn't matter that God didn't call them to emphasize that particular message. It's selling. It's selling. People tell, well, you got to have the gimmicks down. I'm not going to have gimmicks. If God's not going to back me being on the radio, then I can't be on the radio, even though I know that he called me to. And I know that he called me to be on the radio to help be a voice of revolution, to spark revival and awakening in the church and the culture. I know it as sure as I'm sitting here speaking to you. I've journaled it years and years back that this is what God was calling me to do. I live for this every day of my life. And we've made sacrifices through our entire ministry to be on the radio speaking to you. But if in order to stay on, we had to take, use this gimmick because it'll sell, a revolutionary lapel pin and order it now and it's selling like hotcakes. We're not going to do that. And I'm not saying that God didn't tell someone else to. Okay, so there. I'm just talking for me. Years ago, I journaled this. We've learned two things while in America: how to make everything Christian, how to sell it. You say, but Mike, every day you have a resource offer. Exactly, because I believe in the resources. And they help us fund the broadcast in a righteous way. But they amount to what? 1,000th? 100th maybe? I don't know. I mean, a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of the overall income that we need to support this ministry and to run it. Mike, if you do things a certain way, people will give more. Well, if it's a righteous thing, if it's an honest thing, if it's more prayer and more forthright appeals, that's fine. But if I've got to sell my soul and compromise my convictions to sell something or to bring in the bucks, look, there, God forbid, there are people I have seen on TV who raise money like there's no tomorrow. No, I'm not mentioning names. There are people I've seen on TV that have sickened me. I saw one brother on TV raising money through the Garden of Gethsemane. And the way he did it, and where he went from the gospel to fundraising for TV ministry, sickened me. In fact, I was trembling watching it. I've seen another guy with every kind of gimmick, and Isaiah 53 is the word for today. If you give $53.53, God will give you back $530.53 tomorrow, and nonsense like that. And it works. It works. Do you know how many millions of dollars these guys bring in? Well, Mike, if you bring them on your... God forbid. Number one, I would die before I would do that. Number two, these stations wouldn't put up with it either because these stations have too much integrity for that. And number three, I don't believe that 99.9% of you would go for it either because you've got too much integrity. So this is completely unplanned, totally unplanned, but join us in this Jesus revolution. Join us in this cause. I am not the only one doing what I'm doing. I am not. But when it comes to some of the things we're doing, there are only a few. There is always a remnant, and let me say this plainly. There are people in the body doing far more than I'm doing. There are people in the body who are far closer to the Lord and far more anointed than I am. There are people around the world that we've never heard of who would put us all to shame. I am not making myself into some kind of hero. I'm simply saying we are making a difference in ways that not a lot of people are making a difference. We are speaking up for issues that not a lot of people are speaking up for. We are taking stands where not a lot of people are taking stands. And by God's grace, we're covering a range of things, from reaching the lost sheep of the house of Israel, to sparking awakening in the church, to standing for moral and cultural revolution, to raising up, sending out laborers around the world. Friends, as I'm speaking to you right now, we have grads, laborers raised up from our ministry school that are preaching the gospel to the poorest of the poor and setting captives free all over the world. And if you spent a day with them, you'd want to give the rest of your life to them. You couldn't believe the quality of these people and what they're doing. That's some of our fruit by God's grace. And when you give to us, the first fruits of what comes in, we give to our missionaries around the world. And then the next we put towards this ministry on radio and the world work that we're doing by God's grace. So stand with us. You want to do something? You want to make a difference? Stand with us. Become a torchbearer today. In all my years on the radio, I think that this is the first time I've spent a whole segment talking about these things, but I just wanted to share my heart about hating the gospel enterprise and selling out and gimmicks and all that kind of stuff. Give us a call. Become a torchbearer. Or if you can't do that or don't feel prompted to, help us with a generous one-time gift. And maybe you've inherited money and you're praying about where to put it. This is a good place to put it. This is a good place to put it. We will use it in a way that will bring you joy forever. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Don't let the pressure be just on us. Let's share it together. Make a difference with us. 1-800-278-9978 or go online, askdrbrown.org. Click on support. By the way, some years ago, a local guy was going to write an article that was going to be negative blasting, and he wanted to look into our finances. I said, the only scandal you're going to find in our finances is that everybody's salaries are so low. And when he wrote the article, he didn't have a negative word to say about our finances.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back. I will not be taking calls. Boy, the last segment, I just went off and shared some things about finances, about refusing to sell out, about hating the American gospel enterprise that absolutely didn't plan on sharing, but I trust it lit a fire in you to stand up for what's right just as well. We're talking about what we can do as Jesus revolutionaries. And most of this broadcast has been a long exhortation to draw a line in the sand and to say, okay, here's where I take my stand. And I cannot just allow society to go to hell, so to say, around me. I've got to do what I can. And I want to encourage you in this last segment that you can make a difference. You say, Mike, you don't know me. Dr. Brown, you don't know me. You don't know how messed up my upbringing is. You don't know my current family life. You don't know the debt that I'm in. You don't know the obstacles that I have. You don't know me. God knows you. Jesus died for you. And we are all alike in him, members of the same body, children of the same family, branches on the same vine, empowered by the same Spirit, with the same God as our Father. And if God is for us, who can be against us? My power, my strength is not in my academic degrees. My power, my strength is not in my ability to think fast or talk fast. My power, my strength is not that I'm 6'3" and 250 pounds. Not quite that anymore. But my power, my strength is that I'm a child of God, that I'm a believer, that all authority in heaven and earth belongs to Jesus. That's the same with you. And God uses often the most unlikely candidates. Now, you might say, well, that's me. I'm quite well equipped. Well, then don't depend on your earthly credentials, but lean hard on the Lord so he can use you to the full in a fully supernatural way. I have not taken calls this entire hour, but you can connect with me on Facebook, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, or you can connect on Twitter, Dr. Dr. Michael L. Brown on Twitter, or my Facebook page, askdrbrown.org. So first, as I give you a few practical tips in this last segment, don't disqualify yourself. You may have had a terrible past. You may have committed adultery. You may have been divorced multiple times. You may have been involved in shameful practices. You may have brought reproach to your name different ways. You can have a fresh start with the Lord. You may have messed up your life and you may not marry again. You may have messed up your life and you'll never be able to get a credit card again. Doesn't mean God can't use you. Doesn't mean you can't be a world changer. Doesn't mean you can't make a difference. In fact, you could probably touch people that I could never touch. You could probably reach people that I could never reach. So first, start here. Whatever has gone wrong in my life can be a greater opportunity for God to be glorified. Wherever I have failed in my life, this can be a greater opportunity for God to do good. What Satan means for evil, God can turn for good. That's number one. Number two, don't underestimate the impact your life could have. First, don't disqualify yourself. Second, don't underestimate the impact your life could have. These famous quotes from Edmund Burke, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. And he also famously said, "Nobody made a greater mistake than he who did nothing because he could do only a little." Nobody made a greater mistake than he who did nothing because he could do only a little. You don't know what your act of kindness will do. You don't know what your prayer will do. You don't know what your sharing the gospel will do with an individual. You don't know what role your vote will play. When I lived in Pensacola, Florida, it was during the Bush-Gore election. And it was a crazy busy schedule in the midst of the Brownsville Revival and leading the Brownsville Revival School of Ministry, which is now Fire School of Ministry based in Concord, North Carolina. But it was an exceptionally busy time of life. And I had to plan out when I was going to do things out of the ordinary, like go to a place and vote. And by the time I got around to voting, it was too late. The polling places were closed. I got my hours wrong. And went to sleep that night, and there was no verdict. The vote was still out in terms of who won. And of course, you know, it ultimately went to the Supreme Court, the most contested election in our history. And the Florida vote was the part that was still being counted, recounted. And I went to sleep that night, and I was startled with this dream that it ended up an exact tie. And of course, it would have been a tie in Florida. And if I had voted, my one vote would have made the difference. Now, by the way, we were in the county that was like the tipping point in Florida, and it were part of that story. And a lot of the people had moved there to be part of the revival that was taking place, or to be students in our schooling, because they were going to be there a couple of years. They registered to vote there. And so it's a whole bigger story that my dream was exaggerated, but not totally exaggerated. You don't know the difference you can make. You don't know the difference you could make. And then next, number three, do something. Do something. I urge you in the last segment, stand with us financially, help us. That's something every one of you can do. If I can articulate things you can, if I can get to places you can't, if I can be a voice that you can't be because of the platform God's given me or graces God's given me, well, then support us. But you can do something in the world in which you live. Focus in prayer on a specific issue every single day, or a specific situation every single day. Give yourself to get equipped in the word better to go and be a witness. Join your evangelistic team in your church. Okay, I'm gonna start knocking on doors and sharing the gospel, or I'm gonna join this outreach group on Saturday nights. Okay, I'm gonna be one of those that works for pro-life. I'm gonna do something. I'm gonna sow into it financially. I'm going to stand there in front of the abortion mill and offer new life and hope to the moms and others going in there and show them there's a better way. We're going to adopt a kid. We're going to offer ourselves, our family's ready to do it. We're going to adopt a kid. Tell someone, don't abort your kid. We're happy to adopt that kid. We're going to do something. I'm going to get involved in my schools and stand against the gay activist curriculum in the school. I'm going to do something. Something of substance. Do one thing of substance. Determine to do it. And as you do, things will change. All right. I want to encourage you to download our two books, Revolution and Revolution in the Church, that will rock your world and open your eyes. And they are now available in ebook form, just $15.99 for the two. That's an introductory discounted price, just $15.99 for the two. That's half price off the printed edition. You'll get a special reading app for them as well. Call right now to order, 1-800-278-9978. We need an email address to process this, 1-800-278-9978, or online, askdrbrown.org. Go to the online bookstore. My bottom line today, yes, God wants to use you. Yes, God wants to use you now. No more excuses.